Heavenly Father, we ask that you'd be with us this morning. Lord, please help me as I preach. Please give me your strength. Please give me your power. Lord, please help us to be prepared as much as we can with your help to face the difficulties, the heartaches, the problems, the trials that we'll be facing, Lord, in our Christian life. If not now, in the future, Lord, we ask that you be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. We're talking about speaking on the subject of be prepared. Be prepared. You know, if we ask you, you'd say, well, being prepared is important. You think about it, I could have titled it Spiritual Preppers, you know, or something like that. But, you know, nowadays that idea of being a prepper has like a connotation of you're just some crazy goofball in the woods, you know, living in a cargo box, you know, in the underground. That's the part that I can't handle. It's like, you know, if the world turns that bad that you got to live underground, take me home, you know, because I am not going to be able to live in a semi-trailer buried 6 feet under the ground. That's not going to work. But being prepared is important. You know, they just had another hurricane down in New Orleans and things. You think, they were making reference to Katrina and different things like that. And you think, well, those folks, you know, they need to be prepared. I remember down in Florida, we lived down there about 5 years, and I remember one time it looked like we were going to get hit by a hurricane. You know, they always talk about it. When I lived down there, they always made reference back to Hurricane Donna, and that was quite a few years, back in the 60s, and we were down there in the 70s. So it seemed like a long time. It's like, oh yeah, when Hurricane Donna came through, it's like, oh man, I'm glad I wasn't here. You know, but there was one time I remember we went down, we were looking, they thought we were going to get hit in Naples, so we went down to the church and you know. Boarded up the windows, you know, like they, you know, got it ready for a hurricane or a, what do they call it? A peaceful demonstration. And that's what it looked like. And you know, we were getting prepared. You know, as far as being prepared, some of you know, I like being prepared with like first aid kits. You know, I have one in all of my vehicles and different things. And I'm interested in that. I mentioned it that years ago. I was like, oh, I have a first aid kit for different things in my work truck. And afterwards, somebody said, why do you need it? Why don't you just have faith? It's like, yeah, okay. And I have faith that I can stop my finger from bleeding if I cut it, you know, with God's help in a Band-Aid. You know, being prepared, you know, maybe with a first aid kit or something. And I remember you probably all remember in school, like being prepared for that test, you know. And there were many times where I was not prepared for the test. But that was a different era, you know. But that the idea of being prepared, you can apply that to a lot of different areas. You know, probably it applies to some degree in just about everything that we do. But there are some things that we can do in our Christian lives to be prepared. You don't have to be saved very long at all before you realize that you know what? There'll be some things that are uncomfortable in the Christian life. There'll be some trials, testing, some heartache, some heartbreaks that you'll be faced with. And there are some things that we can do in our Christian life to help prepare ourselves for that. You know, it doesn't have to be one of those, where they came up. And sometimes they do blindside you. But it doesn't mean that we, in our Christian lives, we can't do it, some things to help minimize the impact it has. That we can't be prepared, if you will. We'll see a few things. We see first, we need to search God's word. Search God's word. Sam went through the points this morning in Sunday school, and I couldn't help thinking, man, this either dovetails good with the message I have this morning, or he looked at my notes or something, you know, because it's like he kept saying different things. It's like, yeah, I was going to talk about that too, but we need to search God's word. Not just flipping through it, not just perusing, this is good, and just, you know, flipping through it, searching God's word. Do we read his word? Are we actually looking for something? Or are we just like going through it, you know, as I said before, just like punching a time card or checking a box? Have you ever thought of like, oh, I wonder what the Bible says about this, and I think I heard it preached maybe about it. And you say, you know what, I'm going to look it up. You know, that takes a little effort. Now, I'd have to say it takes a little more than a little effort. It just takes effort to get in God's word and actually, look through it. And you know, maybe go to the back and look for the different words and look it up. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes some dedication to it. But if we search God's word, that'll help us. Yes, it's good to read it, and we should. But you know what? We need to search the scriptures. We need to be is there something we're looking for? We mentioned all the many times about all the promises that are in His Word. Well, you know what? Maybe you're starting to deal with something. You know, maybe look it up. Look up that promises. The importance of getting God's Word, and we all we're spoiled in America. I heard a report this week. Then in Afghanistan, there are somewhere between 10 and 20,000 Christians. We'll prove that. I can't. He's just, you know, it was a Christian organization that dealt with them. And they're to the point now that they turn off their phones. And they turn off their phones because the Taliban can trace if they have a Bible app on their phone. And it's like, I don't know about you. I got a Bible app. I got a stack of Bibles. You know, most people do, and if you don't, you have access to it. You can. You have the freedom to. Here we have the freedom. We don't, a lot of Christians don't use it. We need to search the scriptures. You know, when you think of searching, you don't just think of just flipping the pages. You can go like searching. I read where an American's that has a desk job, they have 36 hours of work on their desk. But every week they spend 3 hours searching through that pile. You know, they spend that much. You know, they're all, you know, looking through. Where is it? Where did I put, you know, different things like that. They search for it. And a couple of things, it was like, man, that's a lot of wasted time. But you know what? When we search God's word, we're not wasting time. I remember years ago, my mom she had to leave early for work. And is when, I don't know, Rick or I had used the car. I don't remember which one it was, but she couldn't find her keys and she was running late. And I remember I was woken up by hearing, I don't know if she was, because our rooms were closed, I didn't know if it was who she was talking to, but she said, "Where are my keys? And don't tell me you don't know where they are." You know, it's like, that's what I was woke up to, you know. And it's like, she was searching for those keys. She had a desire to find them. But we need to search God's word. Not only that, we need to surrender to God's ways, God's principles. You know, so many times when those heartaches and those trials and tribulations come, we'll be tempted to surrender your principles. You know, you're following God, but it's like, you know what? You'll be tempted to surrender Him. To say, you know what? I don't think this is worth it. And we, you know what? We need to not surrender. Kind of falls under that. Don't undo and doubt what you've done in faith. You follow the Lord this far. When the going gets tough, we need to not surrender. We need to press forward. I don't know what that is a picture of, Sam. Is that a soldier? Oh, kid with a bow and arrow. Okay. When I glanced over, I thought it was a soldier. It's like, well, I guess that works. And then I glanced at it again. It's like, I don't know what that is. So anyhow, don't surrender. You know, years ago, you know, the older Marines, and I'm not besmirching, I have a friend that's a Marine today. But you think of the old soldiers, you know, guys like Brother Gary. Remember, like Brother Gene Miller. Brother John, you know, some of those guys, it's like, you know what, they're limping along a little bit and they might not be moving quite as fast, but you still don't want to mess with them. You know, there was a Marine named Lewis Poehler. And he was quoted as saying, he was a general, he said, "The enemy has us surrounded. They won't get away this time." And you think, you know, when in our Christian life, you know, feel like Satan has you surrounded. And he's like, well, you know what? I'm just going to surrender. I'm just going to give up. It's not worth it anymore. You know, it'll just be easier to go along to get along. But you know what? We need to surrender to God's ways, not just surrender our principles. And it'll be tempting sometimes to do so. But you know what? That's when that's when you need them the most. That's when you're tested. That's where it's fine. You say you have principles when everything's sunshine and roses. But it's when you stand for what you believe when it's not so easy, and then when you stand when it's not easy at all. We need to surrender to God's ways. You know, and not give in and surrender for convenience. You know, it just makes it easier. Or for cowardice. He's like, well, you know, you're afraid what the consequences might be. How many churches across the country have sold their principles and gone liberal? Because it was just easier to get a crowd. Or, you know, they were afraid that, you know, what, you know, this is what they want. You know, I want to give, you know, try to be people pleasers. Not only that, we need to saturate in a godly walk. Saturate in a godly walk. We need to live it. You know, it doesn't do us any good or much good to just know it. We need to live it. We need to live it. You know, I'm going to think, do people know, do your friends know you're saved? Do your relatives, does your family know that you're saved? We've all seen it. And how sad it is when maybe somebody comes down there and, you know, they get sick later in life and the family member's like, oh, is he saved? We need to find out and make sure they're saved. Well, that is a good thing. It definitely is. And if you have questions, you need to ask them, for sure. But how sad is it on their part that somebody that knew you all their life doesn't know for sure you're saved? You're missing the boat. We need to walk it. We need to live it. There was a little boy, they said, he was talking to his dad. And he asked his dad, he goes, "Dad, when you were my age, did Grandpa make you go to church too?" And he said, "Yeah, he did. He made me go, you know, he made me go to church, you know, just like I make you go to church." And the little boy reply was, "I bet it won't do me any good either." You know, because how he saw, you know, that there wasn't, it didn't do his dad any good. And the thing is that I'm afraid to say that applies to a lot of Christian men today. Their kids can't see that they're Christians. Their kids don't, wonder if they're saved. You know what? They might know it, and they knew it enough to get saved, but they're not living it. We need to live it. We need to apply it to our lives. Kind of goes along with searching the scriptures. Once we find it, we need to apply it to our lives. It's easy to talk it. But when the heartache comes and the trials come and you just cave in and you're like, oh, well, you know what? I'm going to just give up. You know what? Well, you weren't much of a Christian to start with then, unfortunately. Saturate in godly walk. Not only that, we need to be secure in God's working. Secure in God's working. We need to trust Him. You know, when the storms come, many times we are tempted to doubt. Tempted to doubt that God's still in control. And we start thinking, well, you know what? Maybe we won't say it with our mouth, but we kind of say it with our actions. Maybe we'll think, you know, maybe God dropped the ball this time on this one. You know, because He's done it so many other times. I mean, we'll doubt that He knows what the situation is. We'll doubt that He cares where we're at and what we're going through. And neither one of those could be farther from the truth. He knows the situation. Not only that, He cares. He cares about you. I think it was in the devotion. I think it might have been in the one that the stories through the year. If I'm not mistaken, in the last few days. We read through that verse that talks about, what is it? The sparrow. He knows when a sparrow dies. You know, how much more does He care about you? I'm not reading scripture. I'm paraphrasing. Don't think it's like, well, what Bible is he reading now? And no, it's not that. But I was just paraphrasing the story. The bottom line, He cares about us. He knows what we're going through. He knows our problems. He knows our heartaches. He's there for us, and He cares about us. And although yes, it may be easy that thought might come into your mind, but we need to not let it stay there. We need to make sure that we know that He cares about us. Once again, getting into His Word. His Word tells us that. You know, it's easy to be fearful. In the doubt and wonder if He cared. Remember the disciples in the boat. He was there with them. And yet they still were afraid. What they say, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And sure He did. He cared about them, and He cares about you too. And not only that, to be prepared. Shun ungodly wants. Shun ungodly wants. You said, what do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, doing it for the right reason. You know, why do you do what you do? Do you do it for man's applause? I've told you a few different times about a fellow I met that he worked around the church and he was helping. And he said, well, I'd like to do that all the time. I said, oh. He was in a church up in Michigan. He goes, yeah, I like the accolades. And I don't know what church you go to, bud. But, in the ministry, there's, you know, accolades aren't something that if you crave accolades, you're going to have a hard time. And is it for man's applause? I believe it was Brother Jackson, and we're talking about Brother Jackson. Apparently September is Brother Jackson month, because the last 3 weeks he's come up. I think he's the one that told the story about the lady that she had a garden, a flower garden. Some of you know the story. And she'd bring beautiful arrangements and put her on the Lord's Supper table every week. Well, I imagined during the summertime, you know. And every week he'd say, oh, we want to thank Mrs. So-and-so for providing the pretty flower arrangement on the Lord's Supper table. And that went on for some time, until one Sunday he forgot to thank her. And then after that, there were no more flowers. It's like, you know what? She wasn't doing it to be a blessing to the church. She was doing it for the accolades. She was doing it for the man's applause. And you know what? She got her reward. Are we doing it for man's applause? Are we just doing, if I do this, then God's going to just give me. You know, look, expecting God to give you everything then. Is it to get what you think you deserve for serving him? Or is it we need to be thankful for what he has given us and how he has blessed us. And I know it's been said before, but the fact that if we should serve him with the right motives, if for nothing else, that he saved our souls. But there isn't one in here that can say, the only thing God's ever done for me is save me, and that's it. That's not true at all. He's given us so much more than we all deserve. You know, are we gonna stand firm and stand for him and be prepared and lean on him when those problems come and those heartaches come, and realize that he's been better to us than we deserve? Or are we just gonna be like spoiled child? Well, I just want more. I want more. Why didn't I get that? There are things we can do in our Christian life to prepare. And no, don't walk away thinking, you know what? If I do these five things, you know what? Then I'm going to be, I don't know, bulletproof, whatever, the problems aren't going to affect me anymore. The heartache isn't going to hurt anymore. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is, if we do these things, it'll help lessen the blow. It'll help us to stand firm and to get through it. He has what we need. And we can prepare. And there are things we can do to help us, get through these problems. And we just need to turn to him. Realize he cares. He knows what we're going through. He knows and he cares about us. And we can make it. He's there for us. We can be prepared with his help spiritually.